Having messages for a while about piercing in the darkness and dealing with being people that were children of light, and the Lord says, walk as children of light. So we've had lots of messages that have gone into the center of that and gone along the outside edges of that. And it seems like this is just going to keep going. I don't know when the Lord's going to stop all of this happening. Before we get into the actual message, it actually does apply. The song, How Great Is Our God. You know, when you make a determination in your heart that you're going to sing to the Lord with emotion, and you sing those words, I don't know how you can't become overwhelmed. I just wanted to crawl out of my skin. Just get outside myself. Don't you feel sometimes that this body is in the way?
Always.
Don't you feel like that? My body's in the way. This flesh nature is in the way. You know? And that says something to you, or should say something to you about who you really are. Because you're that being that has been born again, that has been made alive, that has a living hope inside of you. And all of the dark things of our old nature and the cravings of this body, the things that can happen that actually really trap us and hold us in, we can see that we're something more than that. Isn't that great?
Yes.
We really are. We're more than who we appear to be, and it's going to become apparent at some point in time. We're gonna see ourselves as we are seen. As Jesus sees us as we're going to be. And he sees that, and he encourages us to move in that direction. We don't have to be trapped in the things that have brought us down in the past, the guilt, the wrong things, the wrong choices. We are not trapped there. We are a new creation. How important is that? Especially for what's ahead. And I want to talk about something here. Tomorrow is President's Day. And one of the things that I think about is our country. I think about God first, but I think about our country and that God blessed this country, and what I'm going to do, I want us to hear some quotes from people that lived back at the beginning of our country, and I want this to be something that inspires us as people to understand our moorings, where we come from as a country. There's a sadness to it because we're not where these people were. But because they were, that is a heritage that we have and that we can be inspired by for the future. Maybe it'll do something inside of us, light some kind of a fire inside of us for what God wants. God wants a righteous nation, doesn't he? All right, let me read you some. This first quote, I'm going to read seven of them, so I'm going to try to go through these fairly quickly. But I want to tell you something about who said them, each one of these. Elias Boudinot, he was one of the signers of the peace treaty that ended the Revolutionary War. He was one of the framers of the Bill of Rights. And he happened also to be a director of the U.S. Mint later on. This is what he said. Let us enter on this important business under the idea that we are Christians, on whom the eyes of the world are now turned. Let us earnestly call and beseech him for Christ's sake to preside in our councils. We can only depend on the all-powerful influence of the Spirit of God, whose divine aid and assistance it becomes us as a Christian people most devoutly to implore.
Do people talk like that anymore?
Not in the government, especially.
That's what I mean. You don't find that in leadership, talking like this. Here's something else. This was from the Journal of Congress. This was things that were copied down, that were spoken and written down and approved of by the general group in the Congress. This is what it says. The great, vital, and conservative element in our system is the belief of our people in the pure doctrines and the divine truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You couldn't say that these days. Amazing. But this is our heritage. In this age, that was during Congress. Here's a Judiciary Committee of Congress, 1854. In this age, there can be no substitute for Christianity. That was the religion of the founders of the Republic, and they expected it to remain the religion of their descendants. That was Judiciary Committee of Congress. Wrote that down. John Jay, who was the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Providence, meaning God, has given to our people the choice of their rulers. And it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. Boy, you'd be put in jail for saying something like that. Another Supreme Court Justice, Joseph Story. One of the beautiful boasts of our municipal jurisprudence is that Christianity is part of the common law. There never has been a period in which the common law did not recognize Christianity as lying at its foundations. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Patrick Henry said that. And then lastly, the adoption of the Constitution will demonstrate as visibly the finger of providence as any possible event in the course of human affairs. That is the hand of God that gave our founding fathers the Constitution. And that was by George Washington. What a great beginning. Yeah. So what happened? Well, we started out a really righteous nation. And that's why there's so much blessing that we've had all of these years. All of these years.
I want to get into some scripture now to lead to the point of where I want to take us, or I believe the Lord wants to take us. Proverbs 29:2 says that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. The people rejoiced for hundreds of years in our nation, right? Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation. What's that mean? Righteousness exalts a nation.
Lifts it up.
Makes it supreme. Puts it at the top of the nations. And we've been that for a long, long time. I'm going to read you the second part of each of those verses. Proverbs 29:2 goes on to say, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And Proverbs 14:34, the second part of Proverbs 14:34 says, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 29:12. If a ruler hearkens to lies, all his servants are wicked. This is what happens when our country, the rulers in the country, turn away from God. It influences lots of other places besides those particular people. It influences the other people that are around them, around that person. And usually that person chooses people of like mind. Be part of that rulership. This is what, you know, here we are. We're Christians. We want the right thing. We want everybody to be happy. We want people to know Jesus. We want things to be right in this world. We want everybody to belong. We want that which is good to prevail over that which is evil. We want light to prevail in the darkness, right? I mean, this is how we would say what we want, you know? And yet, if more and more people are turning in the other direction in a particular nation, the nation then is looked at by God, by its leadership, and by where the majority of people are. Isn't that how it deals with
it?
That's
what we have right there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes. Jeremiah 7:28. But you will say unto them, God talking to Jeremiah, saying to Israel at this point, this is a nation that obeys not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receives correction. Now, the framing of that is actually saying, the next part is describing what a nation who is disobedient to God, who can't receive correction from God. This is what happens to them. Truth perishes. Truth perishes. What is true and what is right? People are groping, well, what really is the truth there? There is so much spin in this country. You can't turn a TV on and listen to a newscast and get the darn straight truth.
That's right.
Truth has perished in this nation. It's all about who can manipulate the words to convince the most people. Has nothing to do with the truth. I'm so sick of it. I'm sick of it. Both sides. They want what they want. They want the advantage for their political party. They don't care about the truth, it seems to me. And it's because our nation is in the process of continuing to turn away from God. Ho-hum about God. God's off in the corner. And we better be careful that we, as Christians, don't start falling into that ourselves. Where we believe in God, but He's a second-class citizen in our home. Where we talk a good religious talk, but it's not really living there the way it needs to. You hear what I'm saying? God goes on to say in Isaiah 60:12, the nation and kingdom that will not serve Isaiah was saying it to God. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Now, we should take some note about this. If our nation has turned more and more away from really having that fervency, I mean, for people that talk like that, openly, just right out there, and these are leaders, and they're putting it down in writing in the annals of the congressional writings, and we skip around that today. That doesn't happen today. Now,
The nation that will not serve thee will perish. That should give us a little bit of a concern. And there might be in the back of any of our minds, oh, that isn't going to happen here. God loves us. We're the nation that have promoted the gospel more than any other nation in the world. So God isn't going to do that here. We've always got out of it before. Don't get too riled up. And yet, these very things are the things that should drive us to our knees. That should, instead of making us blasé and half-hearted about what we think about God, His kingdom being established on the earth, our nation responding to God, that we could receive a blessing from God, we tend to just, don't get too upset about that. God got everything under control. He does have everything under control, doesn't he? But things aren't, if you look at what's going on in the world, God is going to judge what's going on in this world. People are taking their own heads about things. It does get better, I want you to know. You're getting all the doom and gloom first. I got some things to say that are better than this. Jeremiah 12:17. If they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, says the Lord. Ooh, boy. Okay, now, that brings us to the good part. I'm done with the dark part. So now we're going to talk about the light part. That, these things, the things that those quotes from our founding fathers, there is the ability in man who turns toward God to see the blessing of God rest on. Yes? If our nation continues going, God is going to judge this nation. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to be judged. How's that sound? You like that? That doesn't mean that we're not going to be affected by the judgments. Oh yeah, there's going to be, we're going to have to deal with it because this is the country we live in. In fact, the whole world is going through this right now. We've pretty much been immune to lots of things that have happened in this world. Haven't we? And now it isn't so. And because the dam hasn't broken yet, there's the crack. Is there anybody who doesn't see the cracks in the dam? You at least see the cracks in the dam, right? You can see that there's these great possibilities that dam's going to break, and the financial structure of our country could really come to an end. That the security that we have in terms of protecting the citizens from attacks and EMPs and all these other things. It's there, isn't it? Yeah, it's there. And there's these cracks. And if there comes a time when God says, that's enough for the United States, He's going to allow those things to break. And that could happen in this lifetime. In fact, I feel that it is going to happen in this lifetime, and that we are going to need to be people that are secure in Christ. Really secure. It's easy to be secure when everything's fine. It's easy to be secure when you got a bunch of money in the bank. It's easy to be secure when everything's going just fine. All your plans seem to work out just the way that you want. And you have all these plans and everything's just wonderful. And our little daily lives aren't really uprooted. You get what I'm saying? But we're going to find out, I think. Because the scripture is really clear that at the end of the age, that God says He is going to shake all the nations. It's clear. It isn't like, oh, well, that's not going to happen. Or the rapture is going to happen. We don't have to worry about all of that. If God wants to take us out, take us out whenever he wants. But you and I, why would God tell us that we need to be ready? If there wasn't something that this whole world is going to have to walk through. And when his wrath comes, we'll be gone. But there's lots of other things that are going to happen first. All the preliminaries we could be here for. Absolutely. And it's one of those things where we don't want to think about, so we put it off on a back shelf, and that's too uncomfortable. Well, what if God is trying to speak to us? To be these people that have that song in their heart, how great is our God, who trust in him with all of their heart. And it's not just here. It's not just the religious thing to say and sing, but we really do believe that. And it's deep and it's abiding. And there's going to be a people that are going to be a light in a dark place. And it's going to be people that are truly seeking God. Not just coming to church on Sunday. But have something in their heart where they cry. I don't know about you, but I don't have it in my heart naturally. I've got to cry out to God. God, I'm not as fervent as I want to be for you. I still have all these little insecurities and vulnerabilities, and I have all these things, and they get in the way, like I was saying at the beginning. My head and my body, they're in the way for who I really could be in Christ and who you could really be in Christ. And there is going to be a day where the revealing of the sons of God are going to happen. And the creation is going to rejoice because it's going to be a repository. It's going to be a place of refuge for the people that are still in the dark. That's who we're going to be. Not on our own, but because of Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's not our glory, it's his.
Now, I got off track there. No, I didn't get off track. This is what it says here. And I was just so fantastically happy in the choice of the songs. That one song by Kevin Jovi, I don't even know what the name of it is.
We Cry Out.
And there's this one place where it talks about, and we kept going over it and over it, and I was just smiling to myself because I knew that was where, you know, that was where God wanted to put his finger and make us hear this. We are going to be people that learn how to rely on his grace. Rely on his grace.
Can we get that put back?
Is that possible, Steve? To get the words of that song?
Right there.
You got it. There it is. This is where some group of people, some Christian group of people, they're going to live there. Live there. Not just sing those words. And you and I can say to God right now, if you didn't say it while we were singing it, you and I can say to God right now, God, I want to live here. I want to live there. That's where I want to live. That's where I want to live. You want that? You can ask God. Because God is looking for a people that want to do this. People of light. Isn't it great? I think we are living in the most awesome time. We're right on the precipice of the coming of Christ. You all believe that Jesus himself is coming back, don't you?
Yes.
He promised that, didn't he?
Yes.
He said he was going to be resurrected in 3 days, and he did.
He said that he was going to ascend and go to the Father and sit at the Father's right hand until the time when the Father said, all right, time to get up and go back. I don't know how you feel about this, but I just feel it inside. We're at the time here's the Father. Jesus is sitting at his right hand. Isn't he?
Yes.
He's seated at the right hand of the Father in glory, in power, in authority. Jesus knows everything now. He didn't know when he said in Matthew 24 when things were going to happen. He says, nobody knows but the Father himself. That was when he was still in his earthly body before he was killed and resurrected and ascended to the Father. Now all things are his again. Don't you know that? He knows. And the Father's going to say, it's time. And Jesus is going to stand up for him. And get ready to come back to this place, this planet, this realm. Oh yeah, that's happening. That is happening. Praise the living God. That's going to happen. And here we are, on the other side of this, knowing that these things are going to happen. What sort of people ought we to be? Huh? What sort of people ought we to be? Knowing that this is going to happen. Now, if we only know that here, we're going to continue to allow the things of this life to be more of a distraction than it needs to be. Yeah, it does. Well, we do have to attend to things in this world. I'm not saying everybody becomes monks. You do have to attend to these things, and God wants us to be faithful in family situations and work and all of that. He wants us to be. We're to do business until He comes. But too much so in our minds, we're distracted, and knowing there's a day when the Son of God is going to not be seated any longer. He's going to stand up. Can you imagine what's going to happen in heaven? For 2,000 years, He's been seated by the Father. Of course, in heaven, that might only be like that. I don't know. But there He is. And He stands up. And, you know, can you imagine the buzz that goes around in the angelic realm? The Son is stood up. It's time. It's time for that great happening. The Son of God is coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's no longer the Lamb. He is the Lion. And He's going to come back in judgment. And He's going to make things right. And He's going to bring light where there's darkness. And people are going to be happy. Because He's a good ruler. I don't know about you. I mourn. I mourn for what I see in this world. I can't wait for Him to be here. For Him to be here. Ruling and reigning. Oh, what a day. And you know what? This is what we've got to do. We're going to be people that rely on His grace. Because we can't do it in and of ourselves. We can't, can we? But I want to say this. This doesn't mean that we go along and just live our lives the way we live them now. At the level of spirituality we are now, knowing that God's going to grace us. And I think lots of Christians feel like that. Oh, well, God will give me the grace when I need it. That's not the attitude that children of light should have, should we? Oh, well, God will just give it to me when I need it. In the meantime, I'm just going to live the way I've always lived. Because I praise Jesus. I do these good things. And yet we can miss out on something that is deeper. Deeper in that experience, you see. If we're not moving into the depth of that, how are we really going to be able to be that the real light to people? How?
There's a few things I'm going to close with here. There's a couple other scriptures I'm going to read as far as the Lord being our refuge. Because that's where we're going to find, that's where we're going to be secure. Because God's our refuge. I love reading these verses. Psalm 9:9 says, "The Lord will also be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Our God is our refuge and strength, our very present help in trouble." That's Psalm 46:1. Psalm 91:2, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust." Hallelujah. Proverbs 14:26, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge." Ah, oh yeah. Those who fear the Lord, those who reverence the Lord, those who like the song about how great is our God, who it really, that means something to us. I'm not losing you, am I?
No.
You're still with me. It means something. And when I find in myself that I'm not quite hearing things to the depth I need to, or, you know, I'm starting to get a little... That bothers me. Does that bother you? And so we need to say, God, I don't want to become lukewarm. If that's some little indication from you to let me know that I'm getting a little lukewarm, please, Lord, light the fire. Light the fire. And when you're singing songs, I think there's a choice sometimes. Sometimes it's not. But there's a choice sometimes when you're singing a song. I think a lot of times for Christians, if God wants to make me feel the emotion of worshiping Him, then He'll just give it to me. Otherwise, I'll just be this little mushroom worshiping God. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that's wrong. But what I am saying, doesn't it come through your mind, when you find yourself singing the words, and the words mean something to you, but it's not, you're not getting grabbed a hold of?
Yes.
Doesn't that provoke you to say, God, I want to sing this with emotion. I want to sing this with the zeal for the Lord of hosts. I want that. And you make that choice and you say, I'm just giving it to you. And you give your heart to God, and all of a sudden things start changing. Don't they?
Yes.
I just need to know that because
all right.
All right. All right. One of my final thoughts here.
We have 9 people coming in to be members here in a couple weeks. And I really thought, wow, we haven't had that many at one time. I don't think ever at one time. And I thought, wow, that's a little growth spurt for the Word of God Christian Church. And that really made me think, that's what's God's wanting to do right now inside of you, inside of me.
You know, when you grow,
it isn't some long, steady kind of pattern that happens when you grow. You grow in spurts. And then you stay at that place for a while, and then all of a sudden there's this spurt of growth. Isn't there? Of course, some of us only had one growth spurt. I was taking Roger home last night I forget, we were talking about something or other, and Roger said something about Steve, how tall Steve is. I said, well, thanks a lot. But there is this growth spurt thing that happens with everybody. And I think if we're at a time that we're in, right here at the end of the age, I think that there's, because people are coming into this church, I'm thinking, you know what? God wants to do a growth spurt in us. And if we are just saying, yeah, God, yeah, please. But you know what that means? That means we're going to be more vulnerable as a people, as a person. Because we're not going to be able to reach out and love if there's a vulnerability there, and you don't like to be vulnerable. If you don't, if you're squeamish, fearful, you know, don't you want to have a growth spurt where you break out of some of those things?
I think that's going to happen here.
Yes.
And Rich isn't here, so I'm going to say this.
It isn't going to be the magic wand. It's not going to be the magic wand. He says he doesn't like that. He wants me to say the rod or the staff. You know, okay. So it's not going to be God with the staff touching us. He can do it. He can do whatever he wants. But you know, he wants. Love requires response. And God isn't going to make us love him. Therefore, God isn't going to make us obey him. Therefore, if we hold on to our fears and all of that, then that is where we stay. We have to make a choice to say, God, I want to lay these things aside. I don't have the ability to. So I need to rely on your grace. See, it's still his grace, but it's us crying out for it. It's us realizing we don't have the power outside of that. But it's us wanting it. Anything, just about anything that happens with what goes on inside us as a person, there's two people that are involved, God and you. It isn't God just doing it all. It's his power, it's his grace that enables all of that to happen inside of us. But we have to choose it, because it has to be a love choice. God wants us to love him back. Right? So are we ready? Are we ready? Are we willing? Are we gonna say in our hearts, Lord, I want to be used. I want to be at the end of this age as a person of light, as a person of refuge, as a person that has the truth. I'm gonna study to show myself approved. I want to be able to know the truth so I can speak the truth to people. Is there anything more important? Oh, well, that snowmobile ride that I need to go on. That's a little more important. You know what I'm saying. But this is something for us to think about, isn't it?
Lord Jesus, we want to be the people that volunteer freely in the day of your power. We volunteer, Lord. We know that that means certain things. And Lord, we won't be able to do it without your grace. And we rely on your grace, Lord. We know that in all the times of trouble, you are the place we run to. We find wisdom, we find strength, we find endurance, we find everything that we need when we run into your arms. Lord, be with us today, a people of light that can pierce the darkness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.